Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm one of the ministers here at the church. I'd like to start by thanking you for listening to this sermon online. Before we get started, I'd just like to say that we truly hope that this audio recording will encourage you in your walk with God. But we also hope that it would just be supplemental to your relationship with Jesus, and that it would in no way replace the church that you should be plugged into or the spiritual leaders God has put in your life to shepherd you. So please, enjoy the next 30 minutes or so of this message. I pray it will challenge and uplift you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. God bless.
No, the slides were inserted in the wrong spot.
Do you have slides?
Pardon?
Do you have your slides in there?
Yeah, I think so.
Because my I'll get on with you.
Okay, Mike says that I'm ready. Mike says Mike is ready to go, but Mike is actually Bob, so Bob is ready to go. Okay. Well, no, we still got a song in there. So we'll let Roy figure that out, but I have a couple announcements that I wanted to share with you as we begin this morning. First is to invite your prayers for the people in California that are suffering from the wildfires, and particular for Pepperdine University on kind of in the middle of the night on Friday night, the fire got to within 100 yards of the campus, and it was a very scary time. There's been some criticism of what they did because they asked the students to shelter in place, which means to stay where they are and be safe. And some people thought that they should have let them go, but it was very scary to let them go because the smoke was so bad. Some people actually didn't make it, not from Pepperdine, from other places. So it's been a very difficult time. The Woolsey fire, which was closest to Pepperdine, is still burning, and so they're not completely I was going to say out of the woods, but that's probably not the right thing to say. But they definitely need our prayers, and we would ask you to remember them in your prayers because it's a very scary time for them. I just read this morning, I forget exactly how many people have died, but it's been one tragedy upon another for people in that part of California. So please remember them in your prayers. So if this works, are we ready to go? Yes, we're ready to go, I think. All right, so the other announcement I want to make was that we've had some people wanting to do a time of prayer and fasting, and so we decided, well, why not just invite everybody to participate? And so we set aside the week of November 25th to December 1st, so that would start on a Sunday and end on a Saturday. And we're thinking to end on Saturday morning here at the building, just as a kind of a wrap-up time of prayer. And so we'll give you more information about that. Whoever would like to participate, we'll give you some help on things that you could pray about each of the days of the week, and some tips on what you might do for fasting as well. We're not going to keep track of who's participating and who isn't, because we want this to be about God and not about us. And so I'm just kind of throwing it out there. I did post it on Facebook yesterday. I know that some of you are not on Facebook, and actually I'm kind of a Facebook lurker, so you might be surprised to see something posted for me. But anyway, remember the week of November 25th to December 1st, and it will be a time of prayer and fasting for anybody that would like to join us. Okay, so this is our Mission Sunday, where we try to just update everyone on the things that we are doing as a congregation in various places around the world. So this morning we're going to talk about our apprenticeship program. We're going to talk about the SASSes, who are no longer in Ecuador, but they're in Brandon, and then just touch quickly on some of the things that we continue to do in India. So I'm going to start with a guy named Twaldetang. You should be familiar with him now because we've been supporting him in some way since 2007 to be an evangelist in Northeast India in the state of Manipur, but he also goes into the country of Myanmar. Twaldetang lost his wife giving birth to their second child, and he has raised his two daughters in a very good way and has done just a profound job of that. And also is a great evangelist. So he does lots of things. This is a little building just over the border into Myanmar. He's not only does funerals for the Church of Christ congregations, but sometimes other people ask him to come and do funerals and speak at various functions. He teaches young adults. This is a presentation he did for not just Church of Christ kids, but kids that were going to write their final exams for high school. And they asked him to come and give them a charge and to pray for them. He does visit the sick and spends time in the hospitals and visiting the elderly. His home village is actually close to the Myanmar border. It's the village of Buk Phi. And he often goes there to encourage that little congregation. Just this past summer, he baptized 3 young people from there. And this was just a gathering of the family after the baptism. He sent me this picture about 2 weeks ago, but it's so typical of him that I wanted to share it with you. So he's praying over the congregation, right? And Tualatang Tang is always very serious about his prayers. And so when he sent me this picture, I thought, oh, I need to share that with you. So what we've been doing in the last couple of years is we've been trying to help him transition to the place where he can support himself and not be dependent on us. And so we've helped him to get this little shop started where his 2 daughters are actually running the shop, so he still has time to do his ministry. But we're hoping that will grow so that we can get to the place where we don't have to provide financial support to him. So please, in your prayers, be remembering Tualatang and Siami and Nai, because they're great workers for God. You know, one of the things that I thought about this week is that we sit around here with all of the stuff in front of us, the stuff that we're doing, and we're trying to be God's people and to be kingdom people, but it's easy to forget that in so many other places around the world, there are other people who are doing exactly the same thing. And they're getting up every morning thinking about how God might use them to influence the people in their community. So let's be remembering them today as well. We have for a number of years supported a very tiny preacher school in the city of Calcutta. I don't actually have a good picture of Swami and Violet because they never want their picture taken. So I always have to strong arm them to take a picture of them. This is a little congregation that actually meets in their house, their apartment, and it's also the place where he conducts this little Bible school. It's unique in the sense that he has maybe 3 or 4 students who come and live with him for 2 years. And Violet feeds them and cares for them, and he teaches them Bible for a period of 2 years. And then in the last few years, he's also been sending them for some vocational training, maybe fixing computers or fixing bicycles or something, so that when they're finished their Bible school, they can go back to their village and get a job and be self-supporting. And so this year he has actually 4 students, but when he sent me this picture 2 weeks ago, only 2 of those students had arrived. I think the other 2 have now arrived. So I have a question. Raise your hand if you have been to India with me or with Ray. Raise your hand nice and high. I want to see how many people we got here. Several people are away this morning. Okay, so here's the skill testing question. Is I need you to tell me where these 2 guys are from. Okay? Now, I don't need the city. I just want to know what part of India are they from. So is anybody prepared to give me an answer? Those of you who have been to India, and Mike is pointing at Murray. Murray is saying that. So, and I wish Arlene and Heather were here because they're both actually teaching class this morning. Arlene and Heather are going with me in February, so this would be a good test for them too. By the way, they are raising funds for their trip, so if you're able to help them, I know that they would appreciate that greatly. So Ian has an answer.
I think the one on the left is probably from Northeast India, and the one on the right is probably from South India.
Okay, that's a really good answer, Ian, because actually the one on your right is from Andhra Pradesh. He kind of looks like most of the East Indians that we see here in Canada. But the one on your left is from Northeast India. He's actually from Manipur. But you can see that his skin is much fairer, and he's very Oriental looking. And that kind of distinguishes the tribal people in Northeast India, who are the people that we mostly are working with when we make our trips to India. But so Swami has a kind of a mixture of people in his school, and that's one way that you can recognize maybe where they have come from. So remember to pray for Swami and Violet. Swami is about my age. I think maybe Violet's a year younger than he is. And I asked him recently, so when are you going to retire? And he said, well, I don't think I will ever retire. So he continues to run their little Bible school and pray for him and for the students. Actually, what we do as a congregation is that we provide scholarships so that the students can study with Swami. We don't support him, but we provide scholarships so that the students can come and have free room and board while they're there for 2 years. So the last thing I want to mention just very quickly is, because we do this in June, but we support two elementary schools in Northeast India in areas where kids have not had a chance to go to school. And so just a couple of pictures from that, because a year ago I showed you this picture and said our school at Kalapani needs water, and we had at that point dug 4 wells and got no water. And then I showed you this picture, I think in maybe the 1st of September. So we hired a company to come and dig a well, and they drilled to 810 feet before they hit water. Fortunately, when they hit water, it was beautiful, clean, pure water, and it pushed itself back up the pipe all the way up to 75 feet. So they have just tremendously a good supply of clean water. Their only issue is that the power is so weak that the pump won't always pump the water. So Jayanta told me that he has to go out at 3 o'clock in the morning to turn the pump on, because that's the only time that the power is strong enough to actually pump the pump that brings the water to them. So we're so grateful and happy about that, and I think it's appropriate for me to say that Bernard Olson provided most of the money that we needed to drill 810 feet to get water, and we're very grateful for Bernard for doing that. So please pray for the Bread of Life Academy at Kalapani. It's interesting every time I see that video, because the word Kalapani means black water. And Pani is the word for water. But now we have beautiful, clean, pure water to help our school. So Jayanta and Zanette are the people who run that school, and please try to remember them in your prayers. So the other school that we have is called City View Academy, and it's probably, I'm guessing, 1,000 feet above the city of Guwahati that you can see in the background. So you remember, this is the school where the school building blew off the hill in a storm, not once, but twice. And so this is where the original school temporary building was. And I think I showed you this picture where they'd excavated into the hill, and they cemented posts into the ground and put on a proper structure for the roof. That was last year. But now they have continued construction, and we are looking at much better facilities for City View Academy. And the other thing is that in June I asked you to pray for Wan Chungla, because she was having heart surgery at that time. She had 2 valves replaced in her heart, and she is doing very well since then. She's still getting her strength back, and she's still on some medication, but all of her doctor checkups have been good. And so we rejoice with them. Wonderful couple, and without our help, she would not have been able to get that surgery. So they continue to serve and do a fantastic job. So be praying for David and Wan Chungla. And then I asked Travis to send me a few slides of their new work in Brandon. So you are seeing these for the first time. So their moving experience to Brandon was good. Their kids are in school, and there's always some adjustments that need to be made there. But they're asking us to pray as they adjust to this new situation in Brandon. Great aspect of the Latino culture is that they really make an effort to get to know you. So upon arrival, a church helped us move in and then had a supper together, and we felt encouraged seeing their excitement for us to share in their work for the Lord. We continued to meet with the leaders of different ministries of the church, sharing and praying as we join their efforts to share Christ in Brandon. Together we worship in Spanish, but some of the members are English speakers. The church does a good job of making everyone feel welcomed, which includes translation into English. And Travis and Francisco work closely together in the teaching and the preaching. And I just want to say that next weekend for our meeting with Jonathan Stormont, that Travis and Alicia and their family will be coming, and Francisco and his family will be coming, and another family from their congregation will also be coming to be here with us for the weekend. And so I'm excited about that, and I want to encourage you to reach out to them, especially to the two Spanish families, and make them feel welcome so that we can build a good working relationship with them. So, I can't read this from the back. Tuesday nights are nights of prayer and praise. Alicia has started a class for the children. Thursday nights, there is a small group which Travis leads. Both of these midweek gatherings help the members to grow in their spiritual walk. We have committed to work with the families, with youth. We are dreaming with them for how God can work through us to reach other young people for Christ, as well as to see our youth continue to grow in their spiritual journey. And so those are just a few pictures of Travis and Alicia, a very nice picture that they sent with us and asked us to keep them in their prayers. Thank you for your support, and pray for the kingdom to come to Brandon, Manitoba. So I want to lead us in a prayer for not just Travis and Alicia, but all of the things that I've shared with you this morning. So please bow with me in prayer. Father, we do want to just bring before you this morning the people suffering in California, and especially our brothers and sisters at Pepperdine University. We pray that those fires can be put out soon, that people who have lost family and property will be comforted by friends and neighbors and others that can walk with them through this dark time. And we pray that you bless the school and the leadership there as they have had to make difficult decisions. We thank you that the faculty and staff and students at Pepperdine are safe at this point. Father, we pray you give them wisdom as they try to navigate through such a difficult time in that part of the world. And Father, as we move our attention to the things that we are part of in other places in the world, we want to thank you, Father, for places like Calcutta School of Preaching. Is such a little tiny place, and yet lives continue to be changed and equipped for sharing the gospel with others. We pray that you'd be with Swami and Violet in that. Pray, Father, that you'd be with Jayanta and Zanat as they give leadership to the school at Kalapani. And we pray that you'd be with David and Wanchungla as they also give leadership to Cityview Academy. Father, thank you for putting these people in our lives, and we especially pray for Tualatin and Siami and Nye as we try to make this transition to where he can be self-supporting for the future. Father, we need your wisdom and your discernment as we try to just determine what is best in these kinds of situations. We thank you for all of the people who have come to Christ, especially in Northeast India, that we've had a part of their lives. We pray for our trip coming up in February, and that you will give us wisdom as we plan that, and that you will give us strength and health and energy to be able to minister to people there. We pray for Ray, who is there right now and will be going to ISIL tomorrow. We pray you'll bless him with safety and a fruitful ministry. And Father, we know that even though these places are far away from us and we can get busy about our lives and kind of forget them, we know that you don't forget them, that you walk with them, that you empower them to be your people and to make a difference in their communities. And we thank you that we've been able to have just a small part in that as we try to encourage them and support them and pray for them as they work for you. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I get to tell you about our MAP program. And for the record, the second M is silent. I've heard lots of people go, is it MAP or what? It's just MAP. Just call it MAP. It's fine. And that stands for Missions and Ministry Apprenticeship Program. And this is something we've been working on for a long time now. And really, it started out with just a simple dream. I don't know how long ago it was, but maybe five-ish years ago, maybe a little bit more, when Western Christian College shut its doors, and after all the dust settled, there was some funds left over, and so they invited people to apply for different projects, for works that they felt would continue on the mission of Western. And so we began to dream, well, what might our church do that would fall in line with that? And so what we decided that we wanted to try and do and would be a good thing to do and fit kind of with that vision is we thought, well, we want to create a program that gives opportunity to kids coming out of high school or in the middle of or coming out of university who aren't quite ready to go on and do more schooling. They need a little break and they want to do something, but they want to do something has more meaning and significance to them than just part-time retail job. And so we said, well, what could we do? Well, let's try and design something that takes those kids and gives them opportunities to go out and do missions and do ministry in different parts of the world. And so that's kind of what our program is all about, is designed to give kids in that age group 18 to 25 the opportunity to spend time. And there's already opportunities. You can do LST or Young Friends for a week, or you can, many of you have gone on trips with me to Ecuador and other places for a week or two, or you've gone to India with Bob for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But we want to say, let's give a longer term, an extended ministry or missions experience to some of our kids. And so, and the reason we decided that was really important is because we looked back at programs that Western had run and other people had run, and we looked at some of the people who had gone through those apprenticeship programs, and we said, well, where are those people now? And some of those people were actually in full-time ministry with a church somewhere, but a lot of the other people who weren't in full-time paid ministry, they were key people in their churches. They were involved in ministry in their churches. They were church leaders here on the prairies and elsewhere. And so we said, well, we want to design something that trains up our young people and young people from the prairies who will become those kind of people going forward, so that our church is full of strong leaders who have a vision of the kingdom that is global, that is bigger than just what they grew up with. And so that's why we feel like this is really important. And so in that vein, that's why I went to Belgium about a month ago. And I specifically chose Belgium because Belgium's one of those spots that we're thinking maybe this is a place that we could send some kids to do their apprenticeship. Now, Belgium is gorgeous. It's got that old Europe feel. There's lots of buildings that are just, you could just stand there and look around all the time. Some of the cities, they got these canals and all these cool architecture and stuff. But I was not there, contrary to my Facebook feed, I was not there sightseeing. Those are just the interesting pictures. I was actually there specifically scoping out Belgium for a potential apprenticeship opportunities. And so I actually spent the first, the day after I got there, I got in a car with Paul Brazel, and we took the 12-hour drive, which turned into the 18-hour drive thanks to the 6 hours our car was broken down on the side of the road. And we went from Belgium all the way to Bratislava, Slovakia, and that was to be part of this European Missions Conference. And so I spent my first few days there meeting lots of different people and connecting with people and getting to hear what's going on in different areas of Europe. And one of the fun things I did is that I got to go to this little coffee shop and have a banana mochaccino, which I had never had before. Yeah, it was all right. But more importantly is I met this young couple named Roman and Johanna. And Roman is actually from Slovakia. Johanna's from New Mexico. And they met. And so I had a wonderful discussion with them and got to hear what they're doing in Bratislava and kind of their vision for their ministry and church. And I think they might actually be a potential partner for us and a potential place for some of our interns to go, our apprentices to go as well. And so just wonderful young couple that I got to meet and get to know a little bit. But then we made the 12-hour drive back to Belgium. I got to spend Sunday with the church in Antwerp and got to be there, and I had the opportunity to share with them on Sunday morning, which Paul translated for me. And in Belgium, or in Antwerp, I spent most of my time with this couple, Paul and Carol, and they have been in Antwerp and in Belgium for 30 years, maybe more, and working with the people in Belgium, and so they're basically locals now. And I spent lots of time in the week that I was with them talking about what their ministry is, what their church is like, and what their vision is, and how might our apprentices fit in to what they're doing, and how might our apprentices be beneficial to them, and what might they have to offer to our apprentices as well. After that week, I moved down south to the city of Ghent and spent some time with Luke and Holly and their two boys, and I really enjoyed my time with them. Their boys are the same age as my boys, and so we were constantly kind of comparing, and I looked at their video game shelf and their movie shelf and their bookshelf, and I'm like, yeah, we got that one, and we do that, and we do that. And I even got a kick out of it. I was just sitting there one afternoon, and Luke was razzing his younger boy a little bit. And I was like, I do that to Harrison all the time in just the same way. And so had a delightful time with them in Ghent. I rode a bicycle more than I've ridden a bicycle in the last 5 years, probably just in those few days, because everyone in Ghent rides bicycles. I didn't put a picture, but they have like, well, there's bicycles parked all over the place, but they have, like, we have parking garages under the malls. They have bicycle garages, like, that are that same size and that same scope, just bikes all over the place. So we did a lot of bike riding. Luke does a lot of work with English lessons, and he actually uses the same material that we use in our Friend Speak. And so I got to tag along with him. Some of his readers are new. Some of them he's had for quite a long time. And Luke, I will say this, Luke is one of the best people I've seen do this. I've seen different people, and I was sitting there watching him interact with them, and I said, man, he is just gifted at doing the English lessons, both with teaching the English, but bringing out the story of Jesus with these people. And so I got a chance to sit with these four different people as we read. The young lady in the bottom corner there, she's from Ecuador. And so we got to chat a little bit about that. Even got to chat with her in Spanish for a little bit, which she enjoyed and endured, on my part. And so Luke does a lot of that. And then he does a lot of other stuff, just ministering to people in their congregation and in their community. And so I was delighted to share that time with him. I got to spend one day with Sue Foster, and I actually went to college with Sue down in Nebraska, and she grew up going to camp with my wife. And so history with Sue goes way back. But after college, Sue did a 2-year apprenticeship in Holland and then ended up here in Belgium. And so she kind of works kind of in conjunction with Luke. She does some LST stuff and English lessons as well. But she also spends a lot of time in the red light district, working, working with the ladies who work there. And she told me lots of stories about that, and just an amazing work. And she just is there and encourages them, helps them out, and then if and when they get to the point they're ready to move out of that, her and the group that she works with helps them do that. And so just a powerful ministry that she has there. And so I talked with Luke and Holly and talked with Sue as well about, hey, if we sent apprentices to Ghent, what would that look like, and how would that help you, and what could we offer them? As you can see, I also indulged in some local, delicacies, I don't know. Of course, Belgian fries, these things called bitterballen, which is best described as crunchy on the outside, mushy on the inside. And then this other thing called paardenlookworst, which you may or may not want to Google to find out what that actually was. I, of course, had to have a Belgian waffle while I was there, and with all due respect to Tim's, mine was way better. It was very, very good. So, on the last Saturday I was there, all of the churches from around Belgium got together and had a big indoor soccer tournament. And I got drafted to a team that was short of players. I ended up playing 6 games, and we lost the final in a shootout. But I was the only one who scored for my team in the shootout. And it was awesome, because everyone was just shocked when I scored. They're like... So, anyways, this was my team that I played with, and we were short on people. We had no subs, so everyone played all game, the whole thing. So by the end, especially the 4 of us old guys there in the back, we were pretty much out of gas. But I want to highlight one guy here. This was kind of the leader of our team. His name's Scott Rabb, and he is from Holland. And the only reason I point him out is because he's the one who supervised Sue during her 2-year apprenticeship in Holland, and he's still working in Holland there, and so another good connection. So Sunday was at church in Ghent with the people in Ghent. They meet at a school, but this Sunday, particular Sunday, usually they meet in the cafeteria, but this was election day, so we got booted out of the cafeteria and crammed into a little classroom. So I got to meet with them and worship with them and share with them on Sunday morning as well. So, most of you have heard this story a little bit, but so we started with that dream, and then we've been working over the last couple years, and in the last year in particular, we had a committee that worked really hard. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like committees for the most part, and this was the worst kind of committee. It was a policy committee, and so we met about every 6 weeks, and we slogged through pages of stuff just trying to figure out, well, what's this program going to look like, and what are all the procedures, and how, what's the cost, and what is going to be the application process, and all of these things, which are really, really important to have figured out, and really kind of toilsome to have to work through. But for the last year, we've been doing that, and we had a very kind but strict taskmaster who said, we got to meet now, or we won't hit our deadline. And our deadline was to be ready to go and start soliciting applications for this fall, and we made it, and we're ready. And so here we are, and we're ready to start kind of launch our MAP program. And so we're very excited about that. So this morning, what we need to do now is our goal is to raise enough capital that we can put in the bank and fund the program indefinitely based solely on the interest earned. And I understand that raising money to put in the bank for a fund that just draws interest is not nearly as exciting or as interesting as supporting someone who actually is going to go out and do something. But the reason we think this is important is because the church is only funding a portion of the program, and the kids who go out as apprentices are going to have to raise their remaining portion themselves. And so our hope is we can get this money in the bank that's going to cover the church portion, so that when young people are ready to go out and they start coming around and saying, I'm going to go to this place to do an apprenticeship, can you help me out financially? We don't want to have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'd like to, but I already gave what I had to spare to put into the MAP fund. We want to get that done and taken care of, so it's out of the way, so that when people come around and say, hey, we want to go to Belgium, or we want to go to Tanzania, or we want to go to India, or we want to go whatever, that we are free to do that because this is taken care of and done and out of the way. So as we've mentioned before, here's what you can do. Pray for our future apprentices and pray for current missionaries who are on the field, that those relationships develop and that we're ready to go and those opportunities exist. Spread the word is really important. We have flyers that you can ask Bob and get some of them and take them around with you, because I don't know your nephew and I don't know your granddaughter, and even if I did, an invitation from me doesn't mean nearly as much as it does if it comes from you. So get brochures or tell Bob, hey, can you send one to this person, and we can get those sent out to them and just spread the word that, hey, this is an opportunity for people in kind of this age range to take advantage of and be really good. I encourage you to check into it. And then finally, donate towards the fund so we can get that all in place and taken care of and out of the way, so we can focus on the really exciting stuff of sending kids out to do mission and ministry work. And as you've heard us say this before, but just to note, we have a couple of anonymous donors from outside our congregation who heard about the program and said, you know what, we like that and we're excited about it, so we're going to commit to match whatever your church contributes towards it today, up to $50,000. So every dollar we give as a church, we have other people who said, you know what, we're going to get behind that too. That's a special opportunity for us to have to really get towards our goal of getting this thing off the ground. So I'm going to get Ian to come and lead us in a prayer for our MAP program at this time.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have blessed this congregation with the ability to be able to support a program like this. We pray that this MAP program will have your blessing, and that each of us here will do our share to tell others about it, to tell our young people about it, whether they're our children or our grandchildren or related to us in some other way. We ask that you stir us so that we will think of this opportunity to help our young people to develop a passion for ministry, for going on, or dedicating part of their life to reaching out to others and reaching out to others with the good news of Christ. We again are so thankful that you have given us the means and the ability to be able to support a program like this, and we ask you to help us be generous and to fulfill your hopes that you have for us as a people, as a congregation, and be with us in this endeavor. We pray this through your Son Jesus. Amen.